Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This Pride Month, Risk has stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. Go get the Risk podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danny and Dusty.
All right, my rock smashes your scissors.
Not these scissors, pal.
What?
This is a special titanium steel alloy developed by NASA for the space program. These scissors have smashed the Raptor smithereens.
Not this rack. This rack happens to be kryptonite.
With the latest on the Blazers, Ducks, Beavers, and the hottest topics in sports.
Hey, what's happening, Norm?
It's a dog-eat-dog world, Sammy, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
No!
The Fan.
Hour two here on Danny and Dusty on a Monday afternoon, whether listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan or Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for hanging with us this wonderful, wonderful Monday. And as a reminder, no live shows tomorrow because all of us, except for our lovely producers who will be in here running our best ofs, will be out at the Fan Golf Classic out at Langdon Farms all day tomorrow. If you didn't get in, sorry, can't get in anymore. The sales closed yesterday. It will be a packed house out at Langdon Farms tomorrow. Really looking forward to hanging out with everybody out there. It's, like I've mentioned so many times, it's one of my favorite days in the calendar year. I go out there and get completely turned up. We'll be out there on hole number six. As a reminder, I like tequila. So, speaking of tequila and getting drunk, well, that's exactly what the Phoenix Suns did when they found out the offers for Kevin Durant were dog water. And on Friday, I mentioned, I just don't think Houston's going to be able to be the one that pulled this off because they weren't really giving up anything. And heading into the weekend, Minnesota was out of the deal. There was news and, well, not news, there was rumors and speculation and talk among the NBA back channels that the Raptors were not willing to part with Jakob Poeltl as part of a deal, which is what the Suns would have wanted, is Poeltl and then one of Quickly or Barrett and their number nine overall pick. And the Miami Heat offer was shockingly, I almost cussed, really bad. Really bad. No way.
Weird.
Who could have seen that coming?
Except everybody.
Which is why I pegged both the Toronto Raptors and the Los Angeles Clippers as teams that go, screw it, we'll give a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And those were the two teams that people kind of thought, like, maybe they'll do something. Well, the Suns looked around the room and said, screw it. We'll take the crappy offer because it's the best of the crappy offers. The Rockets, after realizing that Ishbia was impatient, decided that, we'll give him Jalen Green, Dylan Brooks, the number 10 pick in this draft, and 5 second-round picks. Now, this deal cannot be consummated until the new league year because of restrictions and aprons and all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
The new league year opens July 6th. You have the moratorium in the 5 days before that, when free agency begins noon on July 1st. But more importantly here, they didn't give up anything of real consequence. Jalen Green, we kind of know what Jalen Green is, a very inconsistent but high-level player that can do things, but also can completely disappear. Dylan Brooks, solid veteran. You're definitely going to get a dose of crazy. There's no doubt about that.
Yep.
The number 10 pick, Houston is so loaded with young guys, they're like, yeah, we're fine. Meanwhile, remember, that pick belonged to the Suns. Okay?
Yeah.
Remember, the Blazers had a coin toss and that involved the Suns, but it was actually the Rockets, blah, blah, blah. That's why they're picking 10th. The Suns, for their part, get KD to a destination of his choosing,
mm-hmm.
one of San Antonio, Houston, or Miami. San Antonio was like, nah, we don't really want to give up anything either. Miami wasn't giving up anything. And the Suns, in their panic, have basically wasted all of their assets and now have a roster with 5 shooting guards on it. Figure that out.
Yeah.
Good luck. Your starting lineup going into next year is Jalen Green, Devin Booker, Dylan Brooks. After that, Ryan Dunn and Nick Richards.
Well, you still got Bradley Beal there, right?
They start him?
I mean,
probably not. They can't even wave and stretch him because they waived Nasir Little, and if they waved and stretched Beal, it would take him above the 15% maximum that they're allowed to do. So they can't even do that. Like, the hellscape that they're in, this is, again, cautionary tale of new ownership. This is why I'm like, always be careful what you wish for, because as much as you're like, oh, well, Ballmer and Harris, and it's like, yeah, Harris also owns the 76ers, and how are they looking right about now? This is kind of the new ownership stuff that usually happens. Now, maybe not to this scale, because good Lord. Yeah, look at Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, all those draft picks. They'd be a lot better off just with all of that stuff now.
Yeah.
But this does impact the Portland Trailblazers, because the Phoenix Suns are indeed picking 10th, one pick in front of the Portland Trailblazers. And there's a lot of different ways that the Suns could go with this. There is some intel that I have heard that the Suns are potentially, remember, they traded their 2031 unprotected pick to the Utah Jazz to get three picks, a combination of picks from the Cleveland Cavaliers and Minnesota Timberwolves, as part of the Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert deals. They got volume, not quality, because both Cleveland and Minnesota both look like going to be pretty good for the next couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where you figure. They're like, eh. And Utah's like, yeah, yeah, juicy, juicy, 2031 unprotected Suns pick. We'll take that. Considering ownership and what's going on there, yeah, yeah, yeah. We'll take that over the three picks. But I've heard some rumblings that the Suns are looking potentially to move up from 10. And you've got teams at 6, 7, 8, and potentially 9, but I think that if you're looking at where they would try to trade up to, it would be some version of 6, 7, or 8.
Mm-hmm.
And grab one of the players that potentially falls.
Right.
Whether that's an Ace Bailey or you jump in front of maybe the Brooklyn Nets if the Wizards don't take Common Malawach because they need a big. But that's kind of where that goes. But that also, that's a wild card in this, because had Houston not been able to move the pick, and they were trying to move the pick regardless of a Kevin Durant deal,
mm-hmm.
if they were going to stay there, it sounded very much like they were going to take Colin Murray-Boyles. Because that's what they like. They like defensive psychopaths,
uh-huh.
which I get it, but somebody has to be able to score, as we saw for Houston. That's why they went out and got Kevin Durant. They could not score.
Right.
You go and get maybe the best scorer in the history of the league to infuse into that team and go, hey, we need a bucket, 7 foot freak. Can you get us a bucket? Yeah, he can still do that. He was 27-6-4 on damn near 50-40-90.
Yeah.
Still good at doing that.
Still pretty good.
So if you just want him to be like okay on defense and just be a straight monster offensively for the next 2 years, 3 years, go ahead. Why not? You didn't give up anything.
Yeah.
You kept everything of value. What I mean, like, it was like, oh, they're going to miss Dylan Brooks. I'm like, I don't think they are. Amen Thompson, a lot better. Also yeah. a lot crazier in like a good way. And you don't hate him.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it was like, well, his leadership. I'm like, yeah, his leadership also goes meow off the course of a cliff pretty regularly.
Yeah.
Amen Thompson, very steady. If you're going to build a guy out and like get him that leadership mantle, that's the guy that I want. Amen Thompson. But you look at the Phoenix Suns now, they have an affinity for homegrown prospects. Carter Bryant plays at the University of Arizona down the road, Tucson.
Mm-hmm.
They did this with DeAndre Ayton just a handful of years ago.
Yep.
Would not surprise me if they're like, we can't move up. We like Carter Bryant. We need guys that can like be role players.
Yep.
We don't need more guards because Lord knows we have all of them. And now I really wonder what this means for Grayson, because he feels like maybe the odd man out here, or Royce O'Neal. Like, it's just, they just have too many guys in the same kind of vein. And there's just not a lot of ball to go around between mm-hmm. Jalen, Beal, and Book yeah. already. And then you're putting Grayson Allen in there and a couple other, like, you need some more like 3-and-D type guys. And it makes me wonder, is that the direction they're going to go? What that kind of ends up shaking into.
Well, we here know that, you know, of course there's nothing wrong with a guard heavy roster.
Yeah. It's not roster construction, Jeff.
No,
it's not a fault of the roster construction. Definitely not that at all.
Not at all.
Gross. But the Phoenix Suns did get the deal done before the NBA draft. This takes the Rockets out of that spot. The Suns have a pick right in front of the Portland Trailblazers. And they're not going to be done because, like I just mentioned, their roster doesn't make any sense. But there's also some interesting things coming out of this, because the injuries to Halliburton, Dame, and Tatum opened up the Eastern Conference.
Yes.
You just improved which you would think, was the number two seed in the Western Conference in the Houston Rockets. And according to ESPN Bet, the favorites heading into next season to win the NBA title, number one, the Oklahoma City Thunder. Following the Thunder.
Well, yeah, because of course we're already writing them in for a dynasty.
They're at plus 220. Following the Thunder, the Cavs and the Rockets are number two at plus 800, followed by the New York Knicks at plus 850. The Kevin Durant trade moved the Rockets from plus 1,800 to plus 800. Damn.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if I'm getting that excited about 37-year-old, soon to be 37-year-old, who turns 37 in September. He'll be 37 going into next year. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's going to make that big of an impact, because as good as the Rockets were, and they were good, the offense was horrid.
Yeah.
One guy does not an offense make. Now, if you're saying, hey, Amen's going to develop, Şengün's going to develop, Jabari Smith's going to develop, Fred VanVleet's going to look better alongside this, I still wonder where the rim pressure is going to come from consistently. Like, it was like, well, Amen Thompson. Well, if Amen Thompson can't shoot and you just play catch with him, that makes it a little bit harder to figure things out. And like, well, they're running like kind of a post offense with Şengün. I'm like, well, if you do that, then you kind of slow down a very athletic team. Mm-hmm. So I'm not truly felt, you know, built into that. But the Halliburton injury going into that game for next year already, the Pacers were 10-1 odds to return to the NBA Finals and win. Mm-hmm. They fell to 40-1 in odds.
Yeah.
That is devastatingly different. And they're basically saying you're not a factor.
Yeah.
But I mentioned a bunch of draft related stuff. We are now little over 48 hours away from the NBA draft. The intel coming out this weekend after a lot of phone calls, a lot of texts, and a lot of discussions back and forth, and some new mock drafts. We will dive into those next here on Danny and Dusty. What are the Blazers potentially looking at coming up on Wednesday evening? Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This Pride Month, Risk has stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. Go get the Risk podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The NBA draft is a little bit more than 48 hours away. Wednesday evening, we will all sidle up to the TVs and hear Cooper Flagg's name called first overall for the Dallas Mavericks. As we get closer to the draft, the intel, some of the smoke screens are fading away, and a consensus is starting to form, at least in the first four picks of the NBA draft. The Dallas Mavericks only worked out one player and one player only. Turns out they have a bit of a player loyalty problem, and they wanted to try to do a little bit of PR around that. Hey, Coop, you're our guy. We're not going to bring anybody else in, not even Dylan Harper to do due diligence, because, well, we kind of screwed the pooch in 18,000 ways with Luka Doncic.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yikes, dog. He's going to go one. Very, 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 very likely the San Antonio Spurs are going to take Dylan Harper number two. At number three, following Ace Bailey's withdrawal from a potential visit from the Philadelphia 76ers and just a general malaise around Ace Bailey's intel, it sounds very much like the Philadelphia 76ers are going to take Baylor guard VJ Edgecombe. Charlotte Hornets on the clock at number four. Konkanipel, the wing from Duke. Someone I was texting with, I know you're listening. About a month ago, I told him, Con's going to go top five. Don't be shocked. That's where he's going to go. And he said, I'll bet you X amount of money he does it. Scared money. I didn't take the bet. Should have taken it. I didn't take it because I thought there was a little bit of wiggle room because a team might trade up. And this is where it gets interesting, is at pick five. From my understanding, the Utah Jazz, they like a couple different players. They like Trey Johnson from Texas. They like Jeremiah Fierce from Oklahoma. And they like Kaman Malawach from Duke. Now, you're wondering, well, the Jazz have Walker Kessler. Well, they could get a lot for Walker Kessler in a trade. And Austin Ainge is now running things, Danny Ainge's son. From general understanding is, yes, Danny's still there and all those things, but with Austin there, anybody that's been drafted already doesn't have the safety net of being the guy. And so they could go in any number of ways. ESPN's mock draft is now updated. The first four that I just laid out are what ESPN has, and that's basically everybody I've talked to has the same thing. Nobody is really deviating outside that because it's, like I said, the consensus is starting to come together in that group. Five is where it gets interesting. Now, you could see the Hornets trade out of four. They're one team that could potentially trade. The Utah Jazz are a team that could potentially trade. At five, ESPN has them taking Jeremiah Fears, the point guard from Oklahoma. At six, the Washington Wizards select Ace Bailey. Now, there is very much an opportunity for Washington to be like, somebody really want Ace Bailey? He's like top three, top four, and a lot of, not mock drafts, but big boards. We'll take some draft capital move out of this. We're interested in that because they don't have anything right now where that makes them go, we need to do this or we need to do this. They can just kind of continue to figure some things out. At seven, ESPN has the Pelicans taking Trey Johnson. Now, if you are Trey Johnson, Jeremiah Fears, or Derek Quinn, I shouldn't put Trey in that group. This is probably Trey's ceiling. This is probably the highest he goes. But if you're Jeremiah Fears or Derek Quinn, if you don't get taken at pick seven, hold on. Because you could see a very real slide. And everybody's like, oh, I like Quinn. I like Fears. But it's like, Fears is small. And that's kind of the fear, quote unquote, with Jeremiah Fears is like, it's very tough to win with a small guard. He measured it at 6'2" barefoot. I think it was buck 70 or buck 80, if I remember right.
So perfect for the Trailblazers.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you noticed, they don't really have small guards anymore. They've gone a little bit bigger.
Yes.
But the Pelicans are kind of the swing point. If Derek Quinn doesn't go here, he could fall to 12, 13, 14 out of the lottery. There are teams that are preparing for that. And that is because he's kind of a hard guy to build. He's a good player, productive, damn near double-double, 16-9. Great touch, good vision. But defensively, he's atrocious. And that's a kind of a non-starter if you're big in the NBA. You have got to be otherworldly. You have to be Jokic good. And Jokic, he had some aggression this year defensively. There's no doubt about that. But he's 7 foot tall and very big and very smart. Derek Quinn is 6'9" and not as big and not as smart. Good player, but I think there's a lot of teams that are like, I don't know if we want to invest in that. We'll see which way this goes. Pick number eight, the Brooklyn Nets. ESPN has them taking Common Malawach, and there are a number of teams. I have heard the Atlanta Hawks. I have heard the Washington Wizards. I have heard the Nets. The Suns are another team at pick 10 now that could look to try to move up and give the Nets more capital because apparently they love doing that. But Malawach measured in at 7'3" barefoot, which means he plays at 7'2" plus. He's a big, big dude. I've seen him in person, spent all week with him at Hoop Summit. I was like, damn, that's a big dude. But you are going to have some volatility in those first eight picks for sure. And Toronto at nine is certainly a place where you might expect some noise. But Noah Senge, the forward from Ratio Farm Ulm that the Blazers brought in preseason last year. They played them. They got an up-close look, and I've heard the Blazers and a couple other teams, Rockdale Farm Ulm, I believe they're playing their championship game in the BBL today. Yes, the BBL. The
Brazilian butt lift?
Yes. The Bundesliga.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but BBL is just so much more fun to say. Him and Ben Saroff are, I believe, playing in the title game today. But I've heard numerous organizations flew overseas over the last 10 days to go get a look at both Saroff and Senge because they're both playing over there in that final. But the Raptors love those kind of guys. And seeing Noah go at nine, that's, again, where they have this picked. Phoenix Suns are now mocked to take Colin Murray-Boyles, which I could see him making sense there. I could very much see him making sense there because we talked about you're looking for defense, role player, playmaking, all those kind of things. Not a perfect fit, but if you're thinking, hey, he's the best overall defender in the draft, which you can talk me into. I think Flagg has got potential to be that, certainly. I think if you're talking about rim protection, Common Malawach could certainly be that guy, but Murray-Boyles is definitely up on that list. And I don't know about perimeter defense because Jalen Green, Devin Booker, don't know how much you're getting out of that defensively. That's tough. But team defender, all those kind of things, Draymond Light, if that's what you're talking yourself into, fine. Pick 11. There's a name that I haven't mentioned yet that you haven't seen mocked here very often because he's been off the board sooner. Arizona's Carter Bryant. The wing prospect, 6 foot, 6.5, barefoot. So means he plays at about 6'8", already 214, 6'11 wingspan. So he is a plus five, and then it's plus five and a quarter. That's a solid plus. Like if you're a plus six guy, you're like, yeah, that's some long arms. We can work with that. But Bryant is a guy that I could see very much in through intel and other sources and scouts. There are a lot of people that believe that the Blazers are zeroing in on, to use Adrian Wojnarowski parlance, that is a player that's very high on Portland's draft board. And it wouldn't surprise me. He fits a mold of what they like. Physical tools, good size, plus athleticism, good feel, and a guy that could develop, and a guy I could see sliding in between Tumani Kamara and Danny Avdia and making sense.
Works for me. Yeah. Now, then the next thing is, though, too, is that, look, and of course, Rome wasn't built in a day, and neither will a Trailblazers contending team. We still, though, I have a hard time believing that as good as Denny Avdia has proved to be, I don't think he can be a number one on a contending team.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Jeff Rust, because yesterday I released 4,000 words.
That sounds like a lot.
Yeah, it was. I was telling you during the break, I use an editing software and I've been using it since August. It told me this morning that I've written almost 1 million words since then. And I was like, wow, that's gross. I don't like that. But I wrote 4,000 of them about Denny Avdia. And the title of it is, What Do the Blazers Have in Denny Avdia? And the idea is, you know, what does it look like? Do the Blazers decide to lean more into Denny Avdia going into next season and have him kind of be the tip of the spear? And how much can he handle? Can he be a number one? Do they throw even more at him than he can handle just to see if he can handle it?
Right.
Or if it's like, that's too much usage, we need to dial it back. And it was taking a look at that without knowing their draft pick or what they do and the things that he does well already that I think he could get better at and the things that he may struggle at that he can improve upon that could lead him to that level. And I started diving into some projections type stuff. And you look at his post January 1 numbers, 20 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists. The list of guys on there, every single one of those guys, I believe it was 9 players, save 2 are either All-star or all NBA caliber players, because 6'9", 245-pound dudes who can dribble, pass, shoot, rebound, and create, they are few and far between.
Yeah, they don't come on trees.
And if you got one of those guys, and I'm not saying Denny is going to average 25 or 30. I'm saying 20 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, which he did for 4 months at a high level with good efficiency. Can he do that for a whole season? And if he is that guy, is he your number one? Maybe not. But is he a damn good number two? Maybe.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be the single biggest question going into the year next year is like, can Denny be a guy or the guy? And then everything else kind of flows off that. How does Two play off that? How does Ant play off that? How does Scoot? How does Shaden? How do guys play off of that?
Mm-hmm.
And how much better can that model be? And that doesn't even factor in, what if the Blazers don't use the pick? What if they trade for a player?
Mm-hmm.
What if the player that they, let's say they have 3 guys there, and for whatever reason, those 3 guys are gone. Do they trade back for more draft capital and a bite at a later apple to get more role play, like multiple picks? Do they trade out for another young player a la Denny Avdia? Maybe not to the level of Denny, because I think even to the Blazers, they were surprised. They thought he was good.
Yeah.
I don't think they thought he was this good.
Right.
I think they were like, damn, like we thought there was room for growth, but okay.
Yeah.
Like, this is something to work with.
It's nice to see a decision hit.
Right. And that's the thing. It's like, can there be more there? Or is that getting too greedy? You know, we did this once and maybe you get a little too high on your own supply. And again, I'm not saying that's happening. I'm just saying,
right.
Do you start to believe, well, maybe our eye for talent is good and we can go down this next. There is a lot that is on the table in a little more than 48 hours. And there'll be some more smoke and all those kind of things. Obviously, we're not on air tomorrow, so Wednesday leading up to the draft, I will share what I can share from intel-wise leading up to that, because that's about as fresh as it's going to be. And then after that, it's all, here we go. So, all right, coming up next, time for our worst day on the web. And I just can't think of anything other than the great outdoors when I hear about people getting struck by lightning for the 666666666 time. 4 people struck by lightning in a 24-hour period. Folks, stay away from the lightning and stay away from metal, for the love of God. We'll get to that next for our worst day on the web. But first, here's the Big Kahuna with Sports Center Update.
I hear they got some tasty burgers.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Risk is the show where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. A podcast all about human connection and radical honesty. All through June for Pride Month, Risk will be featuring the stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. You'll laugh, cry, and maybe even end up feeling a little bit better. Go get Risk on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for today's worst day on the web with Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Oh, really? That sucks.
Look, man, Caddyshack, The Great Outdoors, two of my favorite movies of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And both very prominent figuring here with lightning strikes. If you've never seen The Great Outdoors, John Candy.
Dan Aykroyd.
Just sits down at the bar and, you know, we call him Lucky. He's been struck by lightning six times. 66 times. 66 times. Huh. That whole reaction is just the look on Candy's face. It's like, I wonder if he didn't know the line there or, you know, he's just that great. And then, of course, Caddyshack, father out there. Surely the Lord wouldn't interrupt the greatest game of my life, struck by lightning in the middle of the green. Why that figures into this? Because not one, two golfers on a golf course in Florida struck by lightning.
Same course?
Yes.
Please tell me they were in the same foursome.
I don't know that. Smyrna, wow. Was it North Smyrna, Florida? New Smyrna, not North Smyrna, New Smyrna Beach, Florida. I'm sorry, three people in the same region, in the same city. One of them was in ankle-deep water, a 29-year-old man standing in ankle-deep water in the ocean, was critically injured by a lightning strike. They started life-saving measures, but victim was unresponsive and taken to the scene to the hospital. We don't know if he's alive or not,
right?
Unfortunately. In Central Park, New York, a 15-year-old boy was struck by lightning. Holy crap.
Yeah.
And then two golfers struck by lightning on the Venetian Bay golf course when lightning struck them. Neither of them were taken to the hospital.
Wow.
Real quick. I played lacrosse for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing will stop that game except for
lightning.
Yes. Why? Because you're carrying around lightning rods.
Yes, exactly.
Do you know what golf clubs are? Lightning rods.
Yep.
Brother, if I see lightning, I am not holding up the metal stick in the sky.
No. No.
What? Again, of course, Florida.
Yes.
But if you see lightning, brother, just get off the course for a bit.
Right.
Don't keep the round going. Like, I know lightning and thunderstorms are all very common in Florida, but if you want to increase the likelihood of the... bleep around and find out. Wiggle the lightning rods around in the middle of the lightning storm. Like, what the hell?
Well, again, Florida, lots of good decisions get made down there.
I just
must be something in the bath salts.
The irony of all this, the 25th annual National Lightning Safety Awareness kicked off yesterday.
In Florida?
Nationwide.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, that'd be something, wouldn't it?
The press release reads, "We are about to enter the peak of lightning season across the U.S. With increased lightning activity and increase in people enjoying outdoor activities, we typically see an increase in lightning fatalities from late June through August."
You don't say.
Yeah, you know how you can decrease those odds? Don't put the lightning rods up in the sky!
Yeah. This, you know, it seems like common sense.
this is like,
if common sense is so common, why don't more people have it?
Yeah, look, man, George Cullen had it right. Just remember the average intelligence, 50% marker. Think about how dumb that is and realize half the world is dumber than that. Let that sink in for a second. Like, your average line for talking about, you know, averages, medians, all those kind of things.
Yep.
Half the world is dumber than your average person.
Yeah.
Yikes, dog.
Yikes, dog.
This is the kind of thing where there's, you know, social media influencers. There's one guy, I can't remember his name, but he, it's a common sense. It's not even a political thing. It's just like a common sense thing of like, insert dumb thing here.
Mm-hmm.
And he just went on a rant. I just started laughing because it's something we said in the military all the time. If you want to cut down on the number of dumb people in the world, take warning labels off everything.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Darwin will just take cold and run.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need to have a culling or, you know, like some sort of war or genocide.
Yeah.
Just take the warning labels off of stuff, and brother, people will start dropping like flies because
take care of itself.
People are dumb.
Yeah.
And do we need to put warning labels on golf clubs now?
do not put in the sky when lightning is nearby.
Like, it's just, I can't wrap my head around this. There's dumb, and then there's Florida dumb.
Yeah.
And again, it happened to a 15-year-old in Central Park. Like, look, I'm not saying you need to be, like, deathly afraid of lightning. I lived in Texas. I lived in Florida.
It.
Yeah, like, I've been in thunderstorm. Like, I will never forget it. The first time I ever got a flash flood. Almost pooped my pants. me and my buddy, his parents drove his car down from New York. So we had his car. We had a brand new MR2 turbo convertible. Stood out in the middle of nowhere, West Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And we're on the highway, and it starts raining. And I mean raining, you know, the Texas thunderstorm rain. And I was like, damn, I've never seen anything like this. He's like, yeah, it's getting pretty bad. And, you know, they've got all the drainage and all that, but it fills up, and it starts running like that. That's why they call it a flash flood.
Right.
In a matter of minutes, there's inches of standing water on the road, and we have to drive in the fast lane because it's a little bit higher, and it's, like, not as worn down. We're like, oh, crap, we need to get off the road. And we found an exit, finally, that wasn't flooded.
Yeah.
That we could get off of and get onto an overpass because it's the only place we could go to. And that's like my respect for Mother Nature went whoop through the roof very quickly. I'm like, brother, we were almost a kayak.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing. The things that they made us most afraid of in grade school growing up was quicksand and catching yourself on fire.
Right? Like, where is there quicksand? Is there quicksand in the North American continent, Central America? Like,
I mean, I would think maybe once you get down to Central and some of those more mountainous parts towards South America, sure. But, I mean, yeah.
Quicksand does exist in the United States. It's not as dramatic or common as portrayed in the movies. It can be found in various locations and coastal areas of Florida and the Carolinas, and then in southern Utah, northern Arizona, New Mexico. But, yeah, it says, how to escape quicksand. Don't panic. Lean back, distribute your weight evenly, and try to lean backward to float. Paddle, use a paddling motion to move your arms and legs and try to swim to the side, and slowly move so that you do not break any air pockets.
Yeah. So yeah, basically, you know, swim on your back. Give yourself the bigger surface.
So we're having a little bit of extra, little flotation device.
I'm buoyant.
I live because I'm buoyant and not just skin and bones.
Yeah.
That's the one time we make out okay. I just saw the story and I was just like, lightning strikes? Let me dive into this. It seemed like four people getting struck by lightning in a 24-hour period was a lot.
Yes.
You know what? Let's do this real quick, a little on-air producing. How many lightning strikes people in the U.S. each year? See how volatile this is. Okay. It's not that many. Take a guess how many people in the U.S. are struck by lightning each year.
Each year?
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I don't even know where to start. I mean,
again, it's not that many.
Yeah. Let's go with 100.
400.
Okay.
So four in one day.
Yeah. Right?
Like, that's...
because you're averaging one a day, basically. It's a little, one plus.
So 4 days, quite a spike.
Yeah.
Here's the crazy thing. Roughly 90% of people struck by lightning survive.
Wow.
I did not know that.
Yeah, that's some good odds, I guess.
Isn't a bolt of lightning like 20,000?
It's a lot. When I couldn't imagine that much electricity.
Oh, God, I'm way off.
Yeah.
How much voltage do you think is in a lightning strike on average?
My Lord, I wouldn't even know where to start again.
As small as the number is, this one is as big.
I mean, so what are we talking, volts?
Yeah.
I mean, in the millions?
100 million to 1 billion volts.
I was way off.
Holy, how do you live through that?
Right? Man, when you go buy a lottery ticket.
I've mentioned the story, you know, I had a piercing and I accidentally touched 220.
Uh-huh.
And it arced off of it. So man. Where I touched was not where it escaped from.
Yikes.
Brother.
I don't want to ask any questions.
You want to talk about fear? Ooh, buddy.
Oh, boy.
It's why I have two rules. In my house, I do not touch electrical.
Yeah.
And I do not touch plumbing. And I've told the story about the plumbing one. I was helping my dad put in a new septic tank, and he had a backhoe. It's pouring down rain.
Uh-huh.
We've already dug it out, and I've had to shovel around it and shape it up. It's a big septic tank. It hadn't been changed out in 20 years. And when you have a septic tank, you have a leach line. It's a hole in it. So the water gets out. All right. The paper stuff stays in. And I'm going to make this grosser for everybody else, so if you're eating, I'm sorry. Warning. This was a house that was previously owned by nothing but women.
Ah, okay. I think we got you.
Okay, picking up what I'm putting down.
Yep.
My dad is using the backhoe around it, and you've got gray water, and it's stuck to the bucket, and he can't get it out, and so you do the jiggle. Well, he jiggled it pretty hard, and it threw a softball wad of gray matter across the yard and hit me in the back of the head behind my ear. And I puked and I puked. And I just looked at him. He's like, tell you what, pay you for the day, take the rest of the day off. And I don't touch plumbing ever since that. I have two life experiences that made me go, nope, I will pay somebody else to do this. No, thank you. Hard pass. I'm good.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't go messing around with a septic tank at all. Yeah, leave that with the professionals. But,
No, hard pass. Yeah.
I've replaced you know, light fixtures and stuff in the house. I've installed a couple ceiling fans and bathroom fans. And I did pop myself once pretty good changing out a light switch. But that was just once.
Look, I've got a voltmeter.
Just a little shock.
I will not touch the breakers.
Yeah.
Will not. Nope. Nope. Hard pass.
I had to replace one of those.
Nope. I'll call. My dad has a lot of degrees in electrical engineering.
Mm-hmm.
I will call him. Yeah. Hey, you got a minute?
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, that's weak. No. I just don't.
Like,
I don't want
my dad for advice too.
I don't want to be blasted.
I went and I tackled replacing that circuit in the fuse box.
I've installed dishwashers and all sorts of appliances like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Done the dishwasher a couple times.
Breaker? Nope. Not touching it. Hard pass.
Huh.
And a text line saying, it's the amps that'll get you. Well, there's 30,000 amps in a lightning strike.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's...
It's a lot.
Yeah. Still no thanks.
It's a lot. So
still no thanks.
Hard pass. Well, it's not a hard pass. It's a soft pass here as the Pac-12 media deal is coming together. We'll dive into that next and what the future of the Pac-12 holds on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan. Well, Zarns talked about this on Friday afternoon as the media deal landscape was starting to come together for what is the new version of the Pac-12. And look at that, Jason Swigard. Wow, this is it's almost 2 o'clock, sir. What are you still doing here?
He's coming to meet some of the brass that's in town.
No, that's right. They are here. I forgot about that. Big old day here at Odyssey is the big wigs are in town. But the Pac-12 media deal is somewhat coming together, as it sounds like the official invitation to Texas State will be forthcoming very quickly. And why that's important is July 1st, the buyout for Texas State will double. from $5 million to $10 million for them to leave their conference and join the Pac-12. Now, the reason why that's important is the Pac-12 has to get to one more team to have staying power going into 2026 as a power conference, to have that automatic bid and be able to figure all that stuff out.
Right.
Now, the deal they have signed is a deal currently with CBS Sports Media. Now, this was a deal that was already in place. It was a loosely held deal that agreed to carry the conference title game, the basketball conference title game, and a couple others. It was a very, very, very small one, including the Apple Cup and, I believe, what used to be known as the Civil War.
Well, it's the Apple Cup and one of, because I believe Oregon State and Washington State are going to play twice.
Yes, one of those games.
One of those games. So yeah, and I said up to like three regular season games. Yeah.
And this media rights deal is going to likely include four additional partners. And that's from Yahoo's Ross Dellinger. Well, The Athletic goes a step further, and they have some of the breakouts of this. And I'm going to read some text here because I want to make sure I get this all right. And again, this is from The Athletic this morning. The eight schools on board so far have signed a grant of rights, which goes through June 2031. Getting multiple years out of this. Good. But it also opens you back up for what will very likely be some form of another expansion or what I expect to be some version of a super conference. And it carries you for a couple years, not locking you in like the ACC for a 12-year deal that ends in, 2036, if I'm right. Okay. Those terms indicate media rights will be shared equally across all full members. Okay. So Gonzaga, not a full member because they are a non-football school.
Right.
So the way I take that language is Gonzaga will not be a full member, therefore will not be entitled to a full share.
Right.
That is notable amid speculation around schools. The idea of Texas State could be brought in at less than a full share. Schools will also keep 50% of any earned NCAA basketball tournament units for themselves and share the remaining 50% equally. So let's say Oregon State makes a run to the Elite Eight like they did a few years ago. They would keep 50%, I believe it's either 2 or 4 million for making the Elite Eight.
Okay.
Let's just use 4, it's easier to work with. That would mean Oregon State would keep $2 million, which it's no small number for getting $2 million just as a nice little chunk.
Yeah.
The remaining schools would then split the remaining $2 million up. That's why you saw Washington State and Oregon State in their litigation go, no. We're the only remaining Pac-12 schools. We get all of the Pac-12 money from basketball because it's paid out over multiple years.
Yes.
That's why they got that. That was kind of a bit of a life raft as the other schools left. The college football playoff will remove its participation bonus in 2026, but Pac-12 membership terms state Oregon State and Washington State will keep all revenue associated with a three-year CFP agreement from 2026 through 2028. Basically, hey, we're the anchors of this conference. We're the ones putting this all together. We were left out in the dark. We're going to make sure that we're protecting ourselves a little bit here, which, again, I agree is the right way to go. That is along with all NCAA units earned before this year, per the document. OSU and WSU also control Pac-12 cash reserve stemming from the separation agreement with the 10 departed members, including the ability to distribute it to themselves. Basically, it's like, hey, guys, we made this before you got here. You are not entitled to this. We may break you off a little something if it turns out, hey, we need to do this in order to make a deal happen, like a Texas State, perhaps. Or if, you know, they go and get Memphis from Conference USA, and that maybe is a bit steeper. The rights there look like they're going to be anywhere between $8 and $15 million, or excuse me, $20 million to get them out of that. And, of course, the remaining Pac-12 institutions, Oregon State and Washington State, are still embroiled in the House settlement in the amount of money that they're going to have to pay to the Mountain West Conference and how that breakup and the teams they took from the Mountain West and how much money they say anywhere between $100 and $150 million.
Which is not a small amount
of money. No, and you're not talking about getting a ton of money from this rights deal. You're talking about each school getting anywhere between $8 and $15 million.
Mm-hmm. Which they're saying is probably going to wind up on the lower end of that range.
So let's say 10.
Yeah.
$10 million is still better than nothing. And it keeps you afloat for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, if you're Oregon State, Washington State, I think you could throw Boise State in this. Maybe not Fresno State or San Diego State at this point in time. But if they continue doing well in basketball and their football kind of returns to kind of what it can be, then those are probably the five teams you're looking at as potential for further expansion as the CFP and as that top tier of college football continues to develop. This is not the worst news. It's not the best news. It's just news. At bare minimum, you've got something.
Mm-hmm.
You've got guaranteed money coming in over the next 5 years. That, to me, is the most important thing. Now you need to nail down that next member so that you can have the nine members and go into conference play and have it make sense for the next 5 years.
Right. Yeah.
This is Sisyphusian in that you're rolling that boulder up the hill to have it roll down on top of you, but can you roll it up to a certain point and put the stick underneath it long enough?
Right.
That's kind of where you're at.
Yeah.
And again, I know Oregon State fans, Washington State fans, like a lot of people in here are just like, I'm sick and tired of this. I feel like stop giving us pity. Look, I'm not part of that because I'm not in it. It's not pity. I want you guys to do well. I want you to live on, and I want you to be a part of what's next.
Yeah.
This is that bridge that will get you there. Or at least give you the opportunity to get there.
Yeah. You're just basically right now you're trying to tread water.
I think we're past tread water. I think we have a life raft.
Yeah. Okay.
I think you can let the legs chill for a little bit. Now, those rations don't last forever.
No.
This is
a lot less money than you were used to.
You're Tom Hanks and you've got Wilson.
Yeah.
That's where you're at right now.
Man. Well, see, and even if the the rescue plane of the super conferences does come along, how
you're going to be at the bottom of it.
If you make it.
You're going to be at the bottom of it.
If you make it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's the reality for where we are if you are not one of the top 28 programs in the country.
Right.
I want to say 25, but like there's some wiggle room for teams that kind of bump up in there that are usually just kind of right around that area.
Yeah.
Top 30. 30, let's just say 30. It's a round number. And the 10 teams after that, if we're talking about like a 40-team super conference, that's where you're putting yourself.
Yeah.
And what you do from there, that's up to you. That's up to you.
Hmm. Yeah.
It's not the best news.
No.
It's not the worst news. It's just news.
Yeah.
So, all right. When we come back, we're going to dive back into it. The NBA finals are over. Legacy, what does it mean for the rest of the NBA? And looking forward to next season already, because this season is behind us. Danny and Dusty, Tenny the Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This Pride Month, Risk has stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. Go get the Risk podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.